Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Welcome to the Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast, brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. I'm Brenda Barker, the TIPQC Executive Director. Joining me today is Julie Garner Scruggs. Julie is the Executive Director of A Secret Safe Place for Newborns of Tennessee. She joined A Secret Safe Place for Newborns in November of 2024 after spending 7 years in human resources. She also serves as a board member for the New Hope Children's Advocacy Center, as well as a champion for United Way of Blount County. We are so honored to have you join us today, and thank you for your willingness to share, Julie.
Thank you, Brenda. I'm excited for the opportunity.
Well, just kind of as a backdrop, the Tennessee Safe Haven Law allows mothers of newborns to surrender unharmed babies to designated facilities within 45 days of birth without fear of being prosecuted. A Secret Safe Place for Newborns of Tennessee is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to protect unwanted newborns from abandonment by raising awareness of the law. The organization was founded in East Tennessee and serves the entire state. So with that in mind, Julie, tell us more about yourself and about the work that you do.
Yes, absolutely. I am from Blount County, and at a young age, the concept of serving and giving back was something that my parents modeled in our home. And I feel like I have always been in a position where I can be a voice for people that may not necessarily have that voice to speak out. And I've always considered myself as someone who is ready and available to go to the front lines for a worthy cause. And so in 2024, when I was made aware that A Secret Safe Place was searching for an executive director, it was very natural for me to say, why not? Why not step up and not only be a voice for newborns in our state, but also for mothers who are facing a crisis.
Can you, under the Tennessee Safe Haven framework, a parent who can't care for a newborn can bring the baby within the age limit to one of the Safe Haven locations. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So one thing I want to note is that the Tennessee Safe Haven law is very specific to the mother. And so it needs to be the mother that is claiming to be the parent of the newborn that they are surrendering. There is a separate process through the Department of Children's Services. If there is a father that is the main caregiver of the newborn and feels like he cannot take care of the baby. But under the Safe Haven law, it needs to be the mother that is surrendering the baby, and the mother has 45 days from the date of birth if that is a decision that she wants to make. So she'll have 45 days from the date of surrender to surrender her baby at a designated safe haven facility. And there are over 1,500 of those safe haven facilities across the state of Tennessee. And our organization is responsible for the training and equipping of these facilities to ensure that they know how to carry out a safe and compliant surrender. and what that mother may need in one of the most overwhelming times of her life, which would be to offer her a compassionate option. Those safe haven facilities where a mother would need to go in order to surrender her baby, I tell people, think medical facilities. So they are your hospitals, your birthing centers, health departments, police and fire stations that are staffed 24/7, urgent care clinics that are a true walk-in clinic, meaning that they do not require a patient to have an appointment, EMS facilities, as well as nursing homes in rural select communities only, and 911 centers that have opted into the law. And so 911 centers are the only type of facility that have the option to say, yes, we want to be a safe haven facility, or no, we do not want to be. But all other safe haven facilities that I mentioned by law are required to be a designated safe haven facility.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Tell me, what would the process be like for a parent? What would they anticipate if they were to walk into one of these safe haven facilities?
So when a mother arrives to a safe haven facility, it is very important that she verbally state her intentions that she is wanting to surrender her baby under the law. And once that mother makes that statement, and of course, sometimes that may not be her decision at the time, and the facility may, that may be a resource or an option that they have notified her of, and she later make that decision. But the surrender process would involve that mother stating her intentions to ensure, you know, we want to ensure that this is not a decision that she has been pressured into giving up her baby, but a decision that she has made for herself. And once the mother states her intentions, then the staff, if will offer to accompany her to a private room. This is completely optional for the mother. She does not have to accept. But if she does accept, then the staff will go ahead and take the baby and provide the mother with what we refer to as a mother's packet. And inside of that packet, the mother is going to receive a variety of things, such as a letter from our two co-founders thanking her for her brave and courageous decision. She's going to receive a list of some frequently asked questions that she may have, along with something outlining, a document outlining what her rights and her options are under the law. She's also going to receive a medical questionnaire that she can choose to complete there at the facility, or she can take it with her and complete on her own. Again, that is completely optional. The mother does not have to provide any information at all. And she's also going to receive a list of Tennessee contact information for Tennessee regional DCS offices. If the mother does have 30 days from within the day of surrender, if she changes her mind and wants to reclaim the baby, she does have the option to do that. And so she would need to reach out to a DCS office to start that process. So she would have their contact information. And we also are going to provide that mother with a list of pregnancy resource facilities across the state. We not only care about the safety and the well-being of the newborn, but we also care about that mother. And we want her to know that if she makes the decision to seek any additional resources, that a pregnancy center would be a great place to start. But yeah, so once she receives that information, whether she chooses to go with a staff member of that facility to a private area, or even if she doesn't decline, or even if she does decline they are going to provide her with that information no matter what. And then she would be free to go and leave the facility.
Thank you for outlining that. And it sounds like potentially counseling or other resources would be available to her that you're being referred to.
Yes.
Well, you alluded to it, but tell us what the process now is for the infant.
Yes. So if the surrender isn't taking place at a hospital, then the first thing that the staff would need to do at that facility is to contact EMS to transport the baby to the nearest hospital. And once at the hospital, the baby would be admitted and medically evaluated. Normally, the baby is there at the hospital no more than 72 hours, just depending on what type of medical circumstances they are facing. But during that time, DCS would be contacted. And so really, at the point of surrender is when our job has ended and DCS steps in. And while the baby is in the hospital, DCS is searching for a permanent adoptive home to place the baby with. And so these are homes of families that have the intentions to adopt. They are just doing it through DCS versus a private adoption agency.
And I am very familiar with that process as a foster parent myself. One question that I had, you mentioned the mother could change her mind within that 30-day time frame. What about a birth parent that does not know the child? Is there a time frame for them as well to claim the child?
Yes. So the father of the baby, if he is not present at the time of surrender, he also has the right, if he decides that he is able to care for the baby. And DCS has, this is essentially a no strings attached scenario here. Mom does not, she is not required to give any information at all. And so DCS is, and most likely these scenarios, they are working with very little information, but they do have a very discreet process where they attempt to locate the father. And so the father does have a time period where he, if he feels like he can step in and care for the baby, then he can do that. And he would just begin that process by contacting DCS. One thing that I didn't mention, I forgot to mention, that is in the mother's packet that the mother is going to receive, are 4 ID bracelets. And they look almost exactly like a hospital bracelet, which most people are familiar with and have seen before, except for these bracelets all have the same ID number on them. And 2 of them are adult size bracelets. So they are to go to the mother and the father if he is present at the time of surrender. Or maybe mom knows who the father is and she later decides to give him a bracelet. And then the other 2 bracelets, they are infant size bracelets. And so one goes on the baby's wrist and the other goes on the baby's ankle. And it's very important. So what the facility staff member will do that is facilitating the surrender, they will let that mother know that if she decides to reclaim the baby or if dad decides to reclaim the baby, that when they contact DCS to do that, one of the first steps would be providing that bracelet and that ID number on the bracelet, because that's the ID number that DCS is going to use to identify that baby.
I really appreciate the process and just am still wondering, will the parent remain anonymous?
Yes.
Throughout this. So wonderful with the ID bracelets. And then are there other laws that would be important to know about this type of surrender?
No other law comes to mind. When I explain this process to people, I think the 3 main things to remember with this law is the surrender period. So the mother, in order for the surrender to be considered a true safe haven surrender, the baby would need to be surrendered within 45 days of birth. The baby would need to be surrendered by the mother that is claiming to be the parent of the baby. The surrender would need to take place at a designated safe haven facility, and the baby would need to be surrendered to a staff member of that facility. So mom cannot pull up to the facility in her car and place the baby in a baby carrier on the sidewalk. Mom cannot walk inside of the facility and pretend like she's checking in and then leave the baby in the waiting room. That would be considered abandonment. So the mother would need to directly hand the baby off to a staff member of that facility. And then lastly, the baby would need to be unharmed. And so unharmed can mean a lot of things, but in this scenario, we want to ensure that the baby has not been physically abused or that the baby has drugs in its system. And so if one or both of those things are present, then it would not be considered a safe haven surrender, and that mother may not have protection from a prosecution under the law.
That's really helpful information. Well, we have mentioned these safe places across the state, and you've kind of given us some ideas. If a mom wanted to find one of these, how would she locate that?
So you can visit our website, secretsafeplacetn.org. We have a section that is dedicated solely to facilities. And we have a facility locator map. And so if you go to that resource, you can type in your zip code and it will show you all the facilities in that zip code. And mothers can also, we have a 24/7 safe haven helpline. It is a statewide helpline, and that number is 866-699-7233. That is operated 24/7 by professionals who have been trained and are ready to answer questions. And they would be able to provide that information as well as far as where a safe haven facility is located at.
Wonderful. And we'll be sure to put that number in the show notes as well. Well, our audience may have heard of safe haven baby boxes. Now, can you tell us about those? And I understand they're different than your organization.
Absolutely. So the Tennessee Safe Haven Law a few years ago was amended to allow mothers to be able to surrender their baby in a safe haven baby box. The law refers to those boxes as newborn safety devices. So that's what we try our very best to refer to them as, but we do understand that most people know them by the name safe haven baby boxes. And you are correct. They are a separate out-of-state organization. And we are not the organization that oversees those boxes and or the process of those boxes being installed. But we are very thankful for all newborn lives that have been saved through that option. And we want women to be aware that they have that option. And so on our facility locator map that we mentioned, if there is a location that has a newborn safety device, then we are going to notate that on our facility map as well. But yes, mothers do have the option in the state of Tennessee to be able to surrender their baby in a safe haven baby box. And the process is, I would say it is the exact same. The mother would open the box, and inside of that box, she is going to find very similar information that we also provide. And so mom would just need to grab that packet and then she would put the baby inside of the box. From my understanding, once the box closes, it cannot be reopened from the outside, and an alarm would go off and notifying the staff there at the facility that there has been a surrender, and the staff would be able to secure the baby from inside of the building and would follow the same process that I already went over as far as contacting EMS to transport the baby to the nearest hospital, and then DCS would be contacted as well to step in.
Thank you for explaining that. I think we would also be remiss if a parent is in crisis right now. I do want to mention the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline, which is free, confidential, and here to help 24/7. The number is 1-833-TLC-MAMA, 1-833-TLC-MAMA. Or the Postpartum Support International Warm Line is 1-800-944-4773. And you can push number 1 for Spanish or number 2 for English. We will also have all these numbers in the show notes. Well, thank you again for joining today's discussion and for sharing your expertise. Is there anything else you would like to add before we wrap up today?
I would like to add that if there is a mother out there that is listening, maybe you are facing a crisis and you feel desperate and you're convinced that there isn't another way, there isn't another option, I hope that you hear this message that there is a safe and compassionate option awaiting you, that safe haven isn't about giving up, but it is about choosing life for your newborn to be able to go on to experience milestones in their life, such as a birthday, taking their first steps, starting school, the list goes on. And there are people fighting for you and are waiting and readily available to help you in any way that they can. Brenda, also one thing I want to mention is that since the law was enacted in 2001, 147 newborns have been surrendered under the law. And if you break that number down, that is about one newborn every other month. And I haven't done the math in a while, but it's probably at this point one newborn every month. In 2024, we had 8 babies surrendered in the state of Tennessee. And in 2025, we had 11. So that right there, that was about one newborn every month. And we here at A Secret Safe Place for Newborns of Tennessee, this is our 25th anniversary year. We have been working for 25 years to educate all Tennesseans and communities on safe secret options under the law. And I've been telling people that while 25 years seems like a long time, we are just getting started and we do not have any intention of stopping. And it is solely through our supporters that we are able to keep going.
Wonderful. And congratulations on 25 years. Thanks so much for sharing the work that you do and helping us to know more about options for moms and their newborn babies. Thanks again for listening, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org, that's T-I-P-Q-C.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.